This is the Holy Spirit's flame. We have a burning desire to lift up Jesus' name. Let the fire burn in every heart, light the way to feed the dark, and let the flame of love burn higher. This is the church. This is the church on fire. Disappear. There's power at work, but there's nothing to fear. Something very good, something good is going on around here. This is a church on fire. This is a Holy Spirit's flame. We have a burning desire to lift up Jesus' name. Let the fire burn. Church, this is a church on fire. The Holy Spirit is here and His power is real. Anything can happen and it probably will. Something very good, something good is going on around here. Where there's a light that shines to make the dark disappear. There's power at work, but there's nothing to fear. Something very good, something good is going on around here. This is a church on fire. This is the Holy Spirit's flame. We have a burning desire to lift up Jesus' name. Let the fire burn in every heart. Light the way to feed the dark, and let the flame of love burn higher. This is the church. This is the church on fire. This is the church on fire. This is the Holy Spirit's flame. We have a burning desire to lift up Jesus' name. This is a church on fire. This is a church. This is a church on fire. This is a church. This is a church on fire.
Amen. Why don't you guys take a seat? And we are going to jump right into Amazing Grace, My Chains Are Gone. Again, I hope that you don't miss the grace that He's given you today. And I hope that you stand in awe of who He is. Let's sing it out.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. Just do.
This next one is one of those ones that I enjoy doing, especially when Allison's gone. Phil gives me a hand on this one. The words on this are just incredible to me. Again, speaking of God's grace and his love and his kindness towards us, that he has already given us everything we need. And this is one of those songs that reminds me that. It's called How Deep the Father's Love for Us. Let's sing. Deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that he should give his only son to make a wretch his treasure. Dying breath has brought me life. When Allison leaves sometimes, I like to play songs that she doesn't always like to play. And I think it's fun. This is one that we do Tuesday night. It's a little more of a rocky feel to it. But what I love about it is it's one of those creed songs where it says, this is what we believe as Christians. You know, I talk with a lot of different people from a lot of different faiths. And it's amazing to me how many world religions really expect you to do all the heavy lifting and try to earn salvation, try to earn your way to God. And so it's always fascinating to me when I talk with them and I say, well, you know what? I have one name that has saved me. There's one way to God the Father. And so that becomes a point of contention. And by the time we start to converse back and forth, we see the flaws in man. We see the flaws in ourselves. And I always tell those who I debate with, I'll go, you know what? I could never be good enough to make a way to God. I could never earn my way to God. I could never do all the things that is required by the law. And so I'm glad that Jesus came to be my way, that he's the one name that I can be saved by. And so this proclaims all those biblical truths and some of those Christian foundational things, and it's done in kind of a fun way. So let's sing One Name.
Free by
upside down. God's gonna move in this place. God's gonna move in this place. God's gonna turn the whole world upside down. One name under heaven, whereby we must be saved. Amen. Don't tell Allison we did that one. No, I'm just kidding. I know that sometimes when she's away, I like to do some stuff that's a little different, but this is one we did on Tuesday night, and I love it because this reminds Phil of his grandmom. I love it because it reminds me of my folks. I love it because there's so much theology that's tied to some of these old hymns. This one is really a favorite, but it's called How Great Thou Art, and I hope that you'd sing it from your boots. Let's sing her out. My birth.
sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great.
Shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home. What joy shall fill my heart? Then I shall bow in humble adoration.
Sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art.
Amen. As we prepare our hearts for prayer, I thought it'd be appropriate to do this song. We've had, again, a hard week. When we think of the week that's passed, there's been some passing in the community. There's been some fires and some different things. I just know that I've been heavy as I've been praying for people. And I always find this, is that when I take the time and I stop and I cry out on behalf of others or for the community, that all of a sudden when the Lord's presence comes, boy, there is a calm and there's a peace and there's a beauty that comes with that. I don't know if you practice that. Like if you are geared up and you are finding yourself tense or you're finding yourself heavy, stop what you're doing and come before an almighty God. And you know what happens is you are changed, right? That he reminds you that he's big enough. He reminds you that he's there. He reminds you that he hasn't forgotten. He reminds you that he hears your prayer and your cry. He reminds you that he's with you. And you know, that's the beauty of this relationship that we have with God Almighty, that he promises to never leave us, to never forsake us. He promises to stick closer than a brother. And so you are never alone. Even when you feel lonely, you're never alone. And when you cry out to him, it only takes a moment and the loneliness starts to go. Why? Because you feel his love, you feel his compassion, you experience his grace, because when he walks into the room, everything changes. So that's what we want to sing about today. Let's proclaim this before we pray today when you walk into the room. When you walk into the room, everything changes. Darkness starts to tremble at the light that you bring. When you walk into the room, every heart starts burning. Nothing matters more than just to sit here at your feet and worship you. Can't live without you, Jesus. into the room. Sickness starts to vanish. Every hopeless situation ceases to exist when you walk into the room. The dead begin to rise, 'cause there is resurrection life in all you do. God, all we are, we give you permission. Our hearts are yours. We want you. We want you. Come and consume, God, all we are. We give you permission. Our hearts are yours. We want you. We want you. Come and consume, God, all we are. We give you permission. Our hearts are yours. We want you.
How's everybody this morning? Doing pretty good. Some new faces. So I am the assistant pastor here. I'm not. So like, if you hate it today and you're thinking I don't want to ever go back, give it another chance, because it's not usually me that's up here. So I'm assistant pastor. I also run our kids and our youth stuff. And so those 62 kids, yeah. I was here for that. That was nuts. This room is big. It's not 62 kids running around big. So we're going to have to try and reevaluate that a little bit. But it's been one of them weeks. It's been a weird week. You can hear it in my voice. We're going to get through today. It's been a weird bug that I've had for most of the week this week, and I'm trying to shake it. But between that and some different counseling with some youth, stuff like that, it's been one of them weeks. And the week started off with a funeral too. Like it's been nuts. But the funeral, believe it or not, it was for my aunt. I ended up being there. I didn't do that funeral. I was there as a pallbearer. But it was for my aunt, and we ended up doing that funeral down in Plimpton. But it was honestly one of the more encouraging parts of the week, which is weird to say. My aunt, like Andrew talked about a little bit, like there's something cool that happens when it's a believer that moves on, that passes on, because we share a hope, right? And so the whole time we're doing that service and the whole time we're chatting as family and we're sharing stories, we're laughing and we're having a great time, because we know that Aunt Cheryl's celebrating right now, right? And she's having a great time. And so we're laughing about how much fun she was and about how adventurous, all the crazy things she did in life. And we were having a really great time with it, even to the point when we were going out to the cemetery, like me and the guys who were carrying her all put on Dunlops, because this service, like she was being placed at a cemetery that was built on a hill. It's terrible design. And there's snow on the ground. At least there was Tuesday. And so I'm telling you, the stress that was on us to walk Aunt Cheryl over to the plot, like we're sitting there looking at each other like, you guys better hold on and get a good grip and really watch your step, because at the bottom of the cemetery, I kid you not, was a lake. And I'm like, Aunt Cheryl would think it's hilarious, but everyone will be traumatized. So like, everybody really needs to get their footing and get a grip. And I was having a great time that day as I connected with brothers and sisters of the faith. And it's like, we don't share the same churches necessarily. We may not be a part of the same denomination, but we all share this faith in Jesus that sort of unites us all. And so I sat through the service and I looked around at different individuals around me, and I found a lot of comfort in that, knowing that we have that same fundamental faith. No matter what different routes we've taken in life, no matter where we find peace and how we worship, there were some things that united us. And I thought it might be neat today to talk about some of those things. Like, sometimes in our faith, it can feel a little lonely at times. There are some fundamental things that we should always hold true to, that no matter where we go or no matter where we end up choosing to worship within the Christian church, we're going to share a lot of things with those people. It's instantly going to make us unite with them, right? And so it's stuff that no denomination or no church is ever going to be able to take away from you. And the first thing that I wanted to highlight in that unites us all as believers is one that we overlook sometimes, but it's salvation. Man, this truth that we have, that nothing separates us from God. When you accept Him as your Savior, Scripture says that you are destined for heaven. No one can take that away. Like, that's awesome, right? You, no one can take it away. That's something you have. That's a gift that was given to you freely, and it's a gift that you have forever. And that's something you share when you worship with other believers, right? Most churches, whether they have pews set up or they have chairs set up, whether they enjoy singing hymn music or they enjoy more contemporary music, you're going to be able to share that truth amongst each other. And I was feeling that. I was feeling that Tuesday as we celebrated my aunt. I was feeling that, you know what? We culturally within our churches, we do things very, very differently. But man, we all united on that front. We're all saved by grace. And one of my favorite passages, personally, is Romans 8, 38, 39. It gives us that assurance. I love it. It's Paul's writing. He says, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." All that we're required to do is receive God's free gift of salvation, right? That's all we're required to do through Jesus, and it's at that moment that we are saved from that eternity apart from Him. It's that moment that we get that assurance of heaven, right? We're promised heaven. We're promised life eternal, and when we acknowledge Jesus' defeat over death, we acknowledge our need for a Savior. That's when we're given that assurance. Right? Romans 10:9 tells us how we do that, because I've known believers who just, they've accepted Christ into their life, but they still have those moments of, I'm not sure. Like, am I really going to end up going to heaven? Man, the Bible makes it so clear. Like, Romans 10:9 tells us how we know. Right? It says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. It's as simple as that, right? If you aren't sure if you're going to heaven, maybe you've been baptized, you've done all the stuff. That is how we know. Confess with your mouth, believe in your heart, and that is how we're assured that we're going to heaven, right? I know people who don't feel like they're good enough. They don't feel like they can present themselves before God. They don't feel like they're good enough to go to church. But salvation is so much bigger than that. And I know this is one of those fundamental things that, you know, maybe this feels simplistic. I feel like we should find the wonder of God in what we consider mundane sometimes. Don't let that pass you by. Like, we are assured of that salvation. Share that with other people. Because I encounter people kind of often that just aren't sure, right? And sometimes it's believers too. So have these passages hidden in your heart. Know these things that unite us as believers, right? And so salvation, it's so much bigger than some of that stuff. Ephesians 2, 9 to 10 says, "For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourself, it's a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." None are going to be above another. Salvation is equally given to all of us. Right? We know that once the grace of God saves us, nothing separates us from his love. And so who are we in Christ? What unites us all? We're saved. We're saved and we got heaven to look forward to. And it was that peace, even at my aunt's funeral, that we shared in that together. And that was really cool. And so that's the first thing that I wanted to highlight. Thing that unites us all as believers. The second thing that I wanted us to think about that we share as Christians is that we have full access to God. This is something that we all share. Again, it's something no one can take away. You have a direct line to the Almighty. And he longs to speak with you. Right? When Jesus' work on the cross was finished, the temple veil was torn so that you and I, as imperfect as we are, we would be able to have that direct relationship with God through the perfect sacrifice of Jesus, the perfect lamb. Right? That was a big deal. And again, these things that in our faith, I think sometimes can end up seeming just every day. Don't miss that. You have access to God. A direct line, right? And so I have a question for you. Do you take time to connect with him? Do you set aside that time to connect with God? I feel like a big part of our faith involves connecting with God and allowing him to lead us and direct us. But so often our lives just get so busy and our lives get so loud and so noisy and there's just never any time. We get caught in this lifestyle of having something going on from the time we wake up in the morning to the time we go to bed at night, that there's no silence. There's no time to connect with God, right? And I've found myself getting pulled into this new culture. Like, I don't want to be bored. And it's technology. I think it's technology, right? Like, it's terrible if we feel like we're bored or we feel like there's a silence or we feel like there's nothing going on. It's like, it's like start scrolling through your phone, right? I'm guilty of it really bad. I don't know, moment of honesty. Does anybody else have that problem? Cool, I'm not alone, okay. It's like it feels worse if you're alone. So I did this at youth group. I did it at youth group Friday night where I asked the kids, and our youth group ages from 11 to 18 years old. And so I asked the youth group, I was like, how many have phones, right? And it was like half to three quarters of them raised their hand, said they had phones, right? So I said, okay, there's a really cool setting in your phone that you can check. And what it is it tells you how much screen time you average per day. I was like, anyone want to share? And so a few of them go to this setting. And there was a couple I saw were like, yeah, nope, I'm not sharing that with you. It's not happening, right? You're not finding out. But a couple of them, the younger ones, just had no shame. And they're like, mine says 10 hours a day. And I'm like, like that's so much time. And one kid, there was a few. It seemed to range from around 6 to 10 hours, right? Which is wild to me. Like, that's a lot of time. And there was one that even said it was 12. And then I was like, that's nuts. And he's like, that's not even Xbox time. That's just, I'm like, you're missing your life. You're only awake for 16 hours. I'm like that's over half of your day that you're spending on your phone. And I guess my whole thing to them was, guys, you need to disconnect once in a while. Like, that's so much content. And for the sake of your mental health and your spiritual health and all of these different things, you need to take a step back sometimes, right? And I feel like we sometimes need that advice too. I was trying to counsel them to sort of take a Sabbath from that stuff once in a while, right? We have to. You got to take some time to disconnect from that and reconnect to what matters, right? But I finally get caught in that routine of never wanting to be bored. And even as adults, it's like between our phones and computers and just flicking on the TV in the evening. Like, it's so easy when we think, there's nothing going on, I'm going to fill that with something. We miss connecting with God. God is often found in the silence when nothing is clouding our brain and distracting us. And Andrew had a really neat quote, ironically enough, that he posted to social media, right? So, but it was a really neat quote by Mother Teresa on this whole idea of finding God in the silence. And here it is. It says, we need to find God. And he cannot be found in the noise and the restlessness. God is the friend of silence. See how nature, trees, flowers, grass, grows in silence. See the stars, the moon and the sun. That's supposed to be sun with a U. I spelled it wrong, sorry. How they move in silence. We need silence to be able to touch souls. It's just a really, really refreshing quote. And I find in 2023, silence is seeming to be a really hard thing to come by. Unless, of course, it's made to be a discipline. And so what are you doing to connect with God? How are you making that a discipline? Because it's something we share. It's something unites us as all believers that we have this unlimited access to an almighty God. But it takes that discipline, right? Silence is so uncomfortable for us. It seems so uncomfortable. It's like even right now, if I'm talking and then I take just a little too long to say the next word, it's like, this is awkward. This is weird. Why is he not saying anything? That's dead space. It's driving me insane. Like, we don't like silence sometimes, but silence is what's going to rejuvenate us. It's going to refresh us because it's going to be in the silent moments that we're going to be able to connect with God. Psalm 37:7 tells us to be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Right? Silence and solitude should be this thing that we embrace rather than avoid. We should take those times to reconnect and to recharge, right? Jesus did it. It's something he had to do often. Where there was too much noise and there was too much going on, and he was just being drained so often that he would often go away to lonely places, right? It makes a point of saying not just to get away, but lonely places where it's silent, where it's quiet, so that he could reconnect. And so we should make that a practice of our own, right? Okay, so in Christ, we know that as a body of believers, we are saved completely. We know that we have full access to God. But finally, the last thing that I wanted to highlight that we all share in our faith in Jesus, and I feel like this is a big one, is that we are invited to join into his ministry. And I touched on this a little bit last time that I spoke. But really, to start this off, I just want to give you a few passages. If you want to write them down, you can, but like, they really highlight how important it is that we ought to be taking our faith and doing something with it, right? Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." And James 2:14-17 says, "What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, 'Go in peace, keep warm, well fed,' but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it's not accompanied by action, is dead." And even Jesus himself, John 14:12, he said, "Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me, what will they do? They will do the works that I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I'm going to the Father." He says again in the Great Commission, Matthew 28:19-20, "Therefore go," it's a call to action, right? "Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you." Right? You and I as believers have been called and given the honor of joining alongside Christ to carry out his ministry right here, right now, in Digby, in 2023. Right? Like, how many of you guys, I think it's tough because sometimes I feel like when it comes to ministry, we all have different ideas of what that might look like. And some of us might see ministry as super elaborate stuff, like super, super important things. Like some might even say ministry is stuff that only ministers can do and stuff like that. But ministry is such a wide range of things that we all can do on a daily basis. That what had me thinking about this is the story of Lazarus. You guys familiar with that? A little bit? Story of Lazarus. So this is one of three times, unless you include Jesus raising himself from the dead. This is a story, one of three times where Jesus actually raises someone from the dead. And this story centers around Mary and Martha, whose brother passed away 4 days ago, Lazarus, and this would have been a friend of Jesus, right? And so what happens is after 4 days, they've gone to get Jesus. Jesus has come and they've said, "It's too late. He's already dead. And there's nothing we can do about it, right? Let's just do this. Let's read the story. John 11, 38, 44. Because there's a spot in the story I feel like we skim over. Obviously, the big cool part is when Lazarus is raised from the dead. But there's a neat thing in here that I want to talk about. And so starting at verse 38, Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. "Take away the stone," he said. "But Lord," said Martha, the sister of the dead man, "by this time there's a bad odor, for he's been there for 4 days. And then Jesus said, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" It continues on. So they took away the stone, and then Jesus looked up and he said, "Father, I thank you that you've heard me. I know that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here so they may believe that you sent me." And when he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." And the dead man came out, his hands and feet still wrapped with strips of linen and cloth around his face. Like, that would have been a wild moment, right? Jesus said to them, "Take off the grave clothes and let him go." And I look at that story, and here's what looks a little weird to me, besides a guy being raised from the dead, I guess. But like, what's weird to me is that Jesus, the one capable of raising the dead, asks in verse 39 for them to move the stone for him. Why? Like, that puzzled me a little bit, because I'm like, the one who moves mountains, the one who walks on water, the one who raises the dead, the one who cures the blind is like, "Can you move that rock, please?" It's like, why? Why did he need that? Why was he not able to? Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. So take away the stone. "But Lord," said Martha, the sister of the dead man, "by this time there's a bad odor, for he's been there for 4 days." Then Jesus said, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" Jesus is telling Martha to act on her faith. If you believe, if you really believe in what's about to happen, I'm calling you to act. And she's like, it's gonna be gross. It's gonna be bad. What if this doesn't work? You know what Martha's probably thinking? This is my brother. He's been gone for 4 days. If this doesn't work, the family is going to be traumatized and this is going to tear everybody apart. And so Jesus is asking her, despite the doubt, to act in faith as part of the miracle. Sometimes our call to join into the ministry of Christ isn't going to seem like very significant things, but we do them out of faith that he will do the rest. Stephen Furtick of Elevation Church once said, "Great moves of God are usually preceded by simple acts of obedience." It's not always going to be something crazy and wild that God's going to ask you to do. Sometimes it's just going to be move a stone. Move a stone and let him handle the rest. Let Jesus raise the dead. You know what I mean? Like, ministry isn't always going to be praying over the dead. Maybe all you have to do is the simple things. Maybe all you have to do is chat on the phone with someone who's lonely. Maybe that's a ministry you're called to. Maybe it's inviting someone in for a coffee. Maybe all you have to do is invite someone to church, right? Maybe all you have to do is listen to someone who's grieving. Maybe all you'll have to do is pray for someone when you feel the calling to do so. That is joining into the ministry of Christ. He'll handle the crazy, cool, awesome stuff. Like we're never going to be the ones to save somebody when they come into church, but we can invite them to church. Right? It's the Holy Spirit that's going to have that encounter with them. But you are invited to join into Christ's ministry to love the lost. And so don't miss that. That's something as believers we are all sharing together. And we all have that, right? The wonder of God, we've been talking about it for, I think, 2 months now. The wonder of God can be found in what we've come to know as the mundane. The things that we may overlook. The fact that we're saved by grace, it's one of them things that maybe we don't always think of how amazing that is and what that means for our lives, right? Things we may not always place value in the fact that we have this direct line with God if we would just have the discipline to be silent and we would just have the discipline to find ourselves alone in lonely places where we can connect with him and invited daily to take what we hear from the Spirit to minister to others, even in the smallest ways imaginable. And so the wonder of God is found in all of those things, and I hope you don't miss it. It's been a really neat series as we've gone over it. I don't know if this is going to be the last one or if he's got another one planned for next week, but it's just, it's not always going to have to be the big and the wild and the crazy thing. Sometimes the wonder of God is going to be found in the mundane ministries that we share together as a body of believers. So let's do this. Let's pray together as we close it out. Lord, I want to thank you for salvation, Lord. Thank you for the assurance that we have. We don't have to wonder. We don't have to be nervous, and we can find joy in even celebrating one who has gone on, one who we don't get to spend the rest of our days with here on earth. When they pass away, Lord, we're able to find joy in it because we have this hope. And so thank you for salvation, Lord. Thank you for meeting with us in quiet places. God, I pray that we would have the discipline to get alone, to turn off the world, and to get alone with you and to hear what you have for us. And when you speak it into us, when you tell us what needs to be done, I pray, Lord, that we would be obedient, no matter how wild or how mundane it might seem. Lord, I pray that we would be obedient to whatever you call from us. Lord, I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.